Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. For months, Charlotte has been working to snag the 2020 Republican National Convention. Democratic Mayor Vi Lyles consulted with other city leaders before launching the effort, and when they signaled they were on board, pursuit was underway. But as it became increasingly clear that Charlotte was emerging as the front runner, concerns and objections began to emerge. On Monday, Charlotte City Council held a special afternoon session to hear public opinion prior to voting on the contracts surrounding the convention. After a contentious session, council voted 6-5 to okay the contracts and proceed with the bid. The Republican National Committee is meeting this week, I believe, and will likely make their decision on a host city at that time. We've heard in the last week from city council members on both sides of the aisle and on both sides of the issue, and this hour we hear from the mayor herself. Mayor Lyles, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
You're very welcome. And if you'd like to join our conversation, you can do so. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. You can also watch us on Facebook Live. And many people already sent comments in yesterday via email, which I will sprinkle through this conversation. You called the debate surrounding Charlotte's pursuit of this convention one of the most difficult of your career. Other than that, how would you characterize the week?
Well, you know,
you look tired.
I'm sorry that I look tired. It's just a difficult thing to have 12 to 15 hour days,
yeah,
7 or 8 days in a row. If I do look tired, it's only by my eyes, because I'm not tired in spirit. I promise you that. So what I want to say first, I want to commend the Charlotte City Council for the conduct that we had on Monday. I have never been so proud of the idea that we could have that kind of debate that was, I think, both thoughtful, considerate, and I think very deliberative. I'm really, really, I want to thank the citizens of Charlotte who came out, all 132 people, to speak, because I think people listen, and we heard very clearly a message that put us in two areas. How does a city like ours balance what I would call jobs and opportunity for jobs with our ideas around political discourse? And I think that the council, the outcome is something that we've now got. We've got to turn a lot of work towards our host committee to make sure that they heard the same voices that we heard as a council. I don't expect that we can do any more than work hard to be a community where everyone can participate in this convention in both its planning and its execution.
Were you confident of the vote before the meeting began, or were you on pins and needles?
I was not confident of the vote before it happened. Many times you'll see our chamber and it's filled with people, and you can't help but react to that. I think that
as a council person.
As a council, I think everyone came prepared to take a position. We all knew that we were going to have a vote, but I think that the influence and the voices that we heard influenced how we voted, as well as how we spoke about the vote.
Because I could be wrong about this, because I didn't actually watch the vote. I've heard the second hand, but I believe Larkin Eggleston was the last person to vote. Is that correct?
No? That's okay. Not correct.
All right.
Actually, as mayor, I was trying to be very thoughtful. You know, you can have a debate that can dissolve it quickly into behaviors that we wouldn't want to exhibit. So the debate, I actually asked who would be willing to take the first speech, and Justin agreed to do that. And then we went back and forth around the dais, not our usual, well, let's start at the end and work our way around. I wanted to be sure that everyone had a chance to react to the person that had spoken. But no, it's not correct that Larkin was the last person. James Mitchell closed us out, but in between James and Larkin, we also heard from, I believe, Council Member Matt Newton.
Okay. When did you first become, because as I said at the beginning, when this convention came up to be a possible, when somebody got the idea that it might be a good idea for us to pursue our second national convention,
yes,
you kind of polled people in power, the council people, and it seemed like a good idea. Then opposition began to emerge to this. When did that begin to happen in your mind?
You know, Mike, in this process, one of the things that I always do at the end of anything like this, I reflect on what would I have done differently. Mm-hmm. And so when we were, there was a letter that came to the mayor's office, even on the day I believe that I was installed as mayor, and then it was addressed to Jennifer Roberts, remarkably, I guess. And so I had that letter, and I called our Convention and Visitors Bureau executive, Tom Murray, and I said, I don't know what to do with this letter. Here, take it. I've told you before, and the audience knows, that I've been working really hard to build our relationships at the federal and the state level so that they can understand what we're trying to achieve in Charlotte. And as a part of the outcome of that, Senator Tillis and I meet on a regular basis, and we talked about this convention. I would like to say that he said it's a good idea, and I know he did say that, but I think that I may have brought it to him and said, what about this? Mm-hmm. And he thought, well, if we can do this, it would be really good. And we engage. Then what will we do next, both of us? And he said, well, he would work and look and see if it was reality. And I came back from that meeting and began to poll the council members. And the one thing that I would do differently that is that I forget sometimes, you and I have been here a long time and many of our citizens, but 2012 and 2018 are a number of years apart. And I think that what I would have done differently is said to them, I expected them to have more knowledge about what our convention strategies were. And I may have said, well, we're being asked to bid on this convention. What do you think? And 10 council members agreed. Luana Mayfield has consistently said that she would not support it, and primarily for the reasons that many of folks came to, the current president. But in that, I would go back now and say, we've been asked to host this convention. Let me tell you what hosting a convention entails. Some of us are much more familiar with that, those that have been serving for a while, but I think the new people probably didn't have enough knowledge, and that would be a do-over for me. But at the same time, we've had closed sessions, we've had other opportunities, and now what I'm telling each of our council members, if you have any hint of a question, please come back and ask me, because we are a city that's growing fast. We are moving out on so many initiatives. I told the neighborhood groups last week that, well, you know, we had the RNC. We've got football coming up. We've got our bond referendum coming up. And those are important one-offs. But what we're going to stick to is our regular business. So I need some help for people when they don't quite understand to get out early and let me know that.
But when you first polled the council before the ball really started to pick up steam, yes, and started to roll and become a snowball, were most of the people you talked to in favor, aside from Luana Mayfield?
Yes.
So what changed the people whose minds changed? What changed their minds?
You know, I can't speak for what changed their minds. I'm going to ask that question again. I believe that we inquire, we assess, and say, what would you do differently as well? But I will tell you what I think from my perspective. And I said this was a tough decision. The debates in my household among my adult children, mm-hmm, I think what changed it was the president's reaction to the immigrants, the changing of where people saw mothers and children separated, and I think that became a bellwether for perhaps what may have been other behaviors, at least in my household. That was the debate. Yeah. Well, other behaviors that have led to this, but there's a tipping point, I think, in most of our discourse, in any, especially across the country, and I think you saw that tipping point.
Democrat Braxton Winston and Republican Tariq Bakari went on a media blitz last week.
Yeah, they do that sometimes.
Yeah, one of the programs they appeared on, one of many programs they appeared on, was this one, to debate this issue, to have a conversation about this issue. Braxton at the time said he was on the fence. He ended up saying no, I believe.
That's correct.
But he was on the fence at the time, but he was also outspoken about his negative feelings toward the president. Tariq was in favor of bringing the convention to Charlotte. What's your reaction to council members going out and making these media tours? Is it helpful? Is it hurtful? Is it proper? Is it something that helps people think about this and see both sides, that they can come to their own conclusions?
I think it's always helpful to engage the community, and I think that Braxton has been committed to engaging the community. What I think that, again, a redo would be, if we were going to have that kind of engagement, we have to consider that this is a economic development deal and that we are working on a contract that requires a negotiation. So when do we do that is more important than not doing it or doing it. It's actually making it a part of this idea of what's in the contract. Council members had the opportunity to say, and I can tell you some of the things that worked through, the minority and small business participation. What happens when a hosting a city and we have millions of dollars coming in, who gets to share in that wealth? Jobs, who gets to get that work? And then also the idea of unions, which was very close to Braxton's questioning. What about unions and how does that work for unions? All of those were things negotiated because the council raised them as issues.
And at what point did the council actually see and know what was in the contract, which may have changed since it was first presented, but when did they first get a shot at looking at it?
Like most economic development transactions we had a closed session with a briefing. The city attorney walks through mm-hmm. what the provisions are for us to do this work, and that was done after we got to a place that the Republican Site Selection Committee, which is different from the committee that's meeting to award, they came in and said, we need more information about this. If this is going to occur, we need to have work with Spectrum Arena, which the city owns the building and Mr. Jordan operates with Fred Whitfield. We had to also have the conversation with all of the hotels. And when you're negotiating hotel rates, that's a very, very sensitive area
sure.
for every convention that we have.
Prior to the vote, you spoke with the Democratic women of Mecklenburg County, and you talked to them in your speech about why this was a good idea to host this convention and why you went after it in the first place. After you left, they voted against you.
I actually stayed for the vote. I'm a
Is
member
it?
Of
okay.
the Democratic women. I mean, I got to raise my hand with everyone else. It was a 31-20 vote. 31 to make the statement that we should not host the convention.
So what went through your mind when that happened? You're in the room, you voted?
You know, I expected it fully. I think what went through my mind is how do we make sure that when we talk about this convention, we do it with truth and light. And they told me about this. They asked me to come and talk, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to do that. It doesn't mean that we all have to agree. In fact, if the vote had been differently, we'd be having a different conversation, but we would have to have the conversation.
But you went to this event, you spoke, you made your pitch, you explained very clearly why you thought it was a good idea. They decided that your reasoning wasn't valid, and they voted no. We had all this emerging opposition on city council. It was a squeaker of a vote. We had a lot of people speak up against this. I have lots of emails that I'm going to share with you in the course of this program.
I have a stack. As well.
Well, they're both pro and con. And when I had some people on this program, Julie Iselt and Justin Harlow and Ed Driggs and Braxton and Tarek, all of them said that they had both pro and con emails. And I think most of them admitted that most of the pro emails were slightly ahead of the con emails. But you were in the room when they said no to you.
That's right.
No. So did that shake you at all? Because from an outsider's point of view, you have never flagged in your support for this.
So let me tell you, I am willing, if everyone would agree on everything in this community, we'd probably be, look all the same. And I have said completely every time that I welcome diversity and I want it to be a diverse city. And that's not just of race, creed, and color. It's diversity of opinion and thought. So you asked me about that, and I would have been disappointed if we all agreed.
By Lyles, Mayor of Charlotte. We're going to continue talking about the convention and why it's coming or may be coming in a moment at Charlotte Talks. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking with Mayor Vi Lyles today. An unscheduled visit. We had taken a summer holiday from our Mike and the Mayor monthly meetings, but because of the controversy surrounding the recent vote on accepting the contract, which will go now to the Republican National Committee and whoever makes decisions about where conventions go, we've decided to bring her in and talk to her about this, and she said
yes. I'm glad to do it.
Monday's vote, a council vote, received a lot of national attention. We were all over publications across the country, and including the New York Times, and they, at least, concentrated on the controversy that surrounded the vote.
That's not unusual for the media, is it?
Well, I guess you're right. But does that, since we are so concerned about our image in the rest of the country, was that a good thing?
I think it's a good thing when we have the debate, and I think it's fair for the media to report on it. So I don't think that people measure a city's brand the same way, perhaps, as in the past, that everything had to be positive. I think when we have debates, but we do it in a way that's civil and respectful of people, then I'm glad to have them cover it, because I really believe this is the country's debate that we're having right now in Charlotte. I didn't hear anybody speak against the democratic system, the two-party system. What I heard people say is the increasing coverage of the president has been, and its administration has been, very difficult for many communities. He certainly has supporters, and we see that every day. But in our city, people argued that as a Democratic city with a large minority voting population, that we don't embrace those. And I agree, we do not embrace those. But I also know that in Charlotte, we have conventions on a regular basis, and people don't recall that we've recently hosted the National Rifle Association, the NRA. And I've asked the question of people, I've said, you know, this is different because it is the president, and he's on the news almost 24/7. But when are we going to get into the vetting politically of conventions?
Still, when Ed Riggs and Julie Isolt and Justin Harlow were on this program yesterday, Ed said, as I mentioned earlier, his email was fairly evenly split, mm-hmm. even though leaning in favor. I got the impression that Justin's email was running in the negative column, and I'm not sure where Julie's was, but they all said that the comments pretty much on Monday before City Council took the vote kind of leaned toward we should have this convention. Is that your impression?
That was my impression, but it was a very narrow leaning. I mean, I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that filling the council chamber is a good way to assess total opinion. I have to be mayor for everyone in the city, and yes, we have segments and opportunities to look. Social media takes an energy to come in and say yes or no, but that's not everyone, and so I hope that people read and continue to communicate with us, but I have to go out and talk to neighborhoods. I have to go out and talk to business people.
Social media certainly plays a role in everything that we do now. Mm-hmm. Your daughter, on social media, came out against this convention. Came out in favor of you, but against the convention.
I'm lucky that she's my daughter, because I'd hate to have her as an opponent.
What did she say?
You know, we had...
Did you talk about it before she published it?
We have been talking about this since it started. My daughter actually works for a foundation, and her position is as a person representing equity and inclusion. And that's her job, to do that. And she's been doing that for a long time, helping people in that way. And I have so much respect for her intellect and her engagement. And we can always agree to disagree. But I will tell you, this was pretty tough. My son's much more quiet, but when I actually started saying, how do you feel? And he was like, Mom, I'm not sure about this president. And I'm just being very truthful here. You know, those are two people that mean the most to me. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about difficult decisions, oh my gosh, this was one.
You were not, I don't believe, on council when the decision was made to approach and try to put a bid in for the Democratic
Now,
convention.
I actually work for the host committee for the Democratic National Convention.
Well, then you can answer this question. I don't recall any of this negativity surrounding the attempt to get that convention, or the acquisition of that convention, or the fact that the convention was here, or the aftermath of that convention. I don't remember any negativity about it at all. Am I wrong?
I think that we did have protests, and we worked really other.
What,
I should say
we protest over the city hosting it.
No, just, not over the hosting, but during the convention.
During the convention.
No, I would agree with you.
So, what has changed? Is it strictly the occupant of the Oval Office?
I don't think that's it completely. I know that in the conversations we run as a city on Democrat and Republican. But I think that there is an idea about progressiveness. And many of the people that spoke early on to organize and come forward were Charlotte Resist and the Charlotte Progressives. And those are different groups now. And that's something that we are going to have to work on, inclusiveness. You know, we are working right now on our affordable housing strategy. And members of Charlotte Resist came to see me and they said, how do we really impact this? And what are you going to do? Are you going to get money for housing? Or are you just going to, kind of do the same old thing? And I said, the next meeting that you have, it'll be with our planning director. Come into the process. Come in and see specifically what we're going to do for Beatty's Ford Road, for the East Side, for all of Charlotte. So I think that what I'm learning is that we have a much more diverse population and that there's no one spectrum. There's a graduated scale for each of the viewpoints we have in this community, from Republican to very conservative, whatever, as we go. But in Democrats, we've got a very strong progressive presence. And it's making a difference. And I want to, I really believe that they are really pushing us. You know, sometimes we need that push. That helped us get to the $50 million for affordable housing. That push helped us see the city and plan for the city in different ways. We've pulled back and we're working harder on including everyone in the debate.
One of the things that the media tour that Braxton Winston and Tariq Makary engaged in last week and kind of what happened at city council meeting on Monday, but the debate between people who are in favor of doing this for economic or other reasons and who are not in favor of this for moral or other reasons, was that they could actually talk to each other about this. They could air their views. And there are a lot of people who don't want this convention to be here because they don't want to give a forum for the president to make his views, and they don't want Charlotte to participate in that. Do you see this in any way as an exercise in free speech, allowing this to happen because that's what we do in America?
Well, I've always said that hosting this convention and hosting the Democratic Convention was a process that showed the democracy with a small d, and that we need to have people exercise their First Amendment rights, and we need to do that, and we need to make sure that they're safe doing that. So I do believe that it is something that we can't just shut people down. I've heard the argument, well, would you have really conservative groups come in? Would you shut them down? I think that there are laws that say in our country people have the right to assemble, and we have the right to ability to organize and make sure that that's done appropriately, but I think that's an important right. There was an article yesterday in The Observer written by one of the philosophy professors, and he actually talked about that issue, is that we need to learn how to do that well because that's what's going to make our democracy stronger.
The last time we talked about this convention, a couple of months ago when you were on this program, the RNC, I believe, had narrowed the possible cities down to three, with only Charlotte and a private group, and then to two, with Charlotte and a private group in Las Vegas, the only publicly announced cities. There were other cities at some point in the running that never were publicly announced. A, why do you think that was? And B, why do you think nobody wants this but the city of Charlotte? I mean, the city of Las Vegas is not involved in that area's bid.
You know, that's a little bit more complex than just the statement. You have to remember that in Las Vegas, the private sector owns the convention center, and you have to have a convention center to have a place like this. So I know that we've said, well, the city of Las Vegas didn't do it, but they also don't have the size of the convention center. The private sector owns the larger convention center.
Okay.
So that's one.
But cities always clamor for big conventions.
Well, in Vegas, they have enough traffic.
Right.
I don't think they have to clamor for it.
But what about other cities?
Well, I can't speak to what other cities. I think the best way would be the site selection committee. But I do know that I've talked about going to Washington to present our bid, along with Senator Tillis, the police chief, as well as others. And when we went, we were scheduled to make our presentation early, and we had 45 minutes with 15 minutes for question, and there were other people in that hotel lobby that looked like us, and that's all I can say.
Okay. So, and the last time we spoke, you also talked about the fact that we have been regarded by the GOP to have one of the strongest bids. What's in our bid that makes it so?
Oh, my gosh. I think, one, there are a couple of things. We've got a great downtown that works all the time for large conventions. But I've always said publicly that the biggest strength of our bid was that we've done it before, and we did it in a way that had different opinions. We had people that protested, but we did it safely and we did it well. And I also think that the improvements that we've made since 2012, the train extension to the 20 miles, all of that, the work that we do in this community allows us to go out on the national stage and international stage for conventions now. And this is one, but we're going to have the NBA All-Star Game. We're going to have other types of major conventions, and we hope to attract them by having this one.
So given the fact that other cities either dropped out or didn't bid in the first place, and it's between us and Las Vegas. And although I heard yesterday, according to Vox reporting on something in the Wall Street Journal, that there might be a third city in the running here now that we didn't know about in Kansas.
I don't know.
Okay, but given that we seem to be in a very small club of cities, mm-hmm. does that put us in the catbird seat? I asked this question yesterday. Are we going to get a better deal out of this than we might have had there been many other cities in the running?
I think that the site committee is going to do what they promised to do. I think no matter which city they select, that has already been laid out. The idea that they would plan for 2 years, they would hire a local office, that if that happens, there would be people like me that work for the convention, that we'd be organizing to have over 12,000 volunteers. That's an important component of it. And that people would come and we will fill our hotels. People have talked about the economic development and they've said it's not real. But I look at this, one of the things that I've always talked about is people that need work and their jobs. And I've had people come up and the taxi driver said, you know, the transportation, the Uber and Lyft drivers, all of those folks, they are going to make more money. No, this isn't sustainable. But each convention, I hope, will bring more money to those folks because hourly wages need that boost.
The 2016 Republican convention in Cleveland, as I understand it, faced a $6 million shortfall heading into the convention. Could the actions of the current administration spook corporations, who are generally the big donors in these situations, to not giving? Is there any way that Charlotte will lose a penny on this?
So I want to say thanks to the council members. There is an ironclad provision that we would not lose any money on the security grant. And the way that I feel that the decision about this convention is going to just be a contractual relationship that has those protections, particularly around the $50 million appropriation from the federal government to both the Democrats and the Republicans. So I don't think that we will have any liability.
You don't think?
Let me put it this way. We will not have liability. We'll have insurances, and we have a contract that says if we do not get the $50 million, we'll be reimbursed for any expenses to date and that we've made.
As I understand it, the date keeps moving in my head, but the RNC, the Site Selection Committee, whomever, the Republicans are meeting on this in Austin, Texas. When are they meeting to take that vote?
I believe that they are there today, and I've been told that they will make a decision this week.
And are you going?
I am planning on going.
To do what? Are you the final pitch?
Well, I hope that it's going to be a positive yes for Charlotte. I think I said that yesterday, but I've said this. If in Charlotte we can figure out how to showcase our city, how we can showcase our inclusiveness, how we can talk about respect and civility, that's what I would be doing.
Could the controversy surrounding the vote that took place here on Monday lead to us not being chosen?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not on the committee. So the committee is chaired by Ronna McDaniel, who whose grandfather was George um, Ron,
George Romney.
Romney, and she's a niece of Mitt Romney, so I think she's got a pretty good idea of what Charlotte has been talking about for the last 4 or 5 months.
Because this process got so far down the road before controversy and opposition began to emerge, several council members have said on this program and others that our backing out, a no vote on Monday, would have had serious negative repercussions, possibly at the national level, but certainly at the state level. Do you agree with that?
I think the repercussions of saying no, it's more about who we are and can you enter into a negotiation and get this far and stop with folks. I don't think it's necessarily about the politics of it. I think it's really about business behavior. When you're working, if you're uncertain, we needed to say that a little bit earlier. So this is about when, imagine, just like economic development, there are 15 or so economic development firms that place businesses in different communities. And if we ever broke the trust of one of those, I don't think they'd look at us anymore. So conventions are like that. Events are like that. Everything that we do out of our convention center, everything that we do as a part of attracting visitors to Charlotte, you want to make sure that you keep your reputation solid on delivering what you say you're going to do.
I don't know whether you think about this or not. As a mayor, as an elected official, because you will be up for re-election, as will the council,
yep,
before this convention comes to town. We won't know the outcome.
Right.
We won't be able to say, look, we did a great job. Everybody was happy when they left. We made a fortune. detractors will not be able to say, look at all the problems you caused. But nonetheless, you'll be up for re-election. What are the stakes here? I mean, a lot of Democrats, including yourself, are now on record supporting bringing this controversial Republican convention with its controversial president to town.
Mm-hmm.
Could that impact you negatively? Could you end up not being the mayor in another year?
You know, I will say this. When I ran for mayor, the first words that I said, and I've said consistently, is that I believe in collaboration and getting things done. And I would focus on the issues that were important that the community had talked about, and that is housing, it is transportation options, and better paying jobs. And that has not been neglected.
But could this be your HB2 moment? Could this be the end of the honeymoon?
I believe that it's my job to go out and work for the city and work for the citizens that live here. And if it's the end of a political career, they'll make that decision.
Vi Lyles is the mayor of Charlotte. We're talking about the Republican National Convention bid we've decided to go after. And when we come back, we'll share some of the comments that have come in from you while we've been talking, and even as early as yesterday at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. For a sexual assault survivor, speaking up about abuse can be daunting. Many never come forward. And for those that do, finding a resolution can be a winding and frustrating road. Charlotte Talks is hosting a special public conversation in partnership with WFAE's podcast, She Says. Join us Thursday evening, August 2nd at 7 at McGlowan Theater in Uptown for Beyond, She Says, Sexual Assault in Charlotte. Registration at WFAE.org. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Mayor Vi Lyles is with us, and we're talking about the Republican National Convention bid that the city decided on Monday they would continue to pursue, and in fact, they okayed the contracts that were that they've been negotiating for a month or so now. This week, the Republican Party will make their decision about where this convention will be. They'll make that decision in Austin, Texas. We asked people to share with us their thoughts via email and other means, beginning as early as yesterday. Let me just go through these in no particular order and let you react to them.
Okay.
Kurt in Charlotte emails, "We are told the contract covers all costs not covered by the federal grant. Will this include the damages caused by violent protests? I agree with other fears that this event will make the Smith shooting protests look pedestrian. Our representatives should have taken this into consideration from the beginning of the process."
We did. We have liability insurance, and we have also a very strong security plan. In addition to Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police, we will have the work from the federal law enforcement agencies. And one of the things that the chief Putney has said is that we're going to have officers that have been trained in the way and necessary to conduct a safe protest if they occur.
This came up in earlier conversations, but Kate emails, has the mayor considered the likelihood that the 2020 GOP convention will be like the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago? It was a disaster for the city of Chicago.
That's an interesting thing. If you're a student of history, you'll know that the protesters were actually what I would call the progressives. And the problem was that the government and the mayor and that police department were out of control. And so, yes, I have considered that. I hope that we've come a long way since 1968. Some people may argue with that, but as I sit here as your mayor, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for some of the reactions that we've had. And there's one reason that we hire the kind of officers that we have and train them on implicit bias and train them on confrontation. And we actually have a unit that deals with how to talk with people that disagree with you. So I think things are different. I have thought about it, but I know that we're different.
The center city will be locked down, and one of the reasons we didn't really have a lot of problems was because the police were well trained in 2012. There were specific locations for protests to occur. Nobody tried to jump the barriers. Some people have said people in this case might try to jump the barriers. And even though the central city will be locked down like a drum, what's to prevent people from protesting elsewhere where the police are not in attendance or in not enforced there because they're all here?
Well, that could happen with any type of event. But let me say this. We've said that the city is locked down because many of the downtown office buildings closed. But at the same time, we had over 200 students that were writing for their newspapers at the Blumenthal on stage talking to Mayor Nutter out of Philadelphia, other mayors and coming through there. So there were opportunities. I've heard lots of people talk about how they just walked through the streets meeting celebrities. So I know we say lockdown, but I think that this host committee understands the need to engage our volunteers.
Let me define lockdown the way I meant it, and that is simply that there are a lot of police here. There were 4 to 6 police officers on every street corner during the Democratic National Convention. Mm-hmm. It was the safest place on earth. And it was harder to get into downtown than it was normally, but no one was prohibited from coming into downtown.
Thank you. That's a great clarification, because I think that's the way it is or it was then. So
Bill in Charlotte writes, Charlotte succumbs to money over morals, our national disease. Moreover, by the summer of 20, the U.S. may well be a boiling cauldron of hostility, a Faustian bargain of the first order.
I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that our country will be different. There are lots of things that we'll plan for, and we will plan for that contingency. If the country is boiling over at that point, I expect all of us will be reacting differently, the Democrats and the Republicans across the country. No one plans to have the worst of our community being destroyed. And if that is the case, then I think we'll know that in advance.
Blaze identifies himself as a Republican. He says, I do appreciate your decision to host the RNC in Charlotte, despite the fact that this party leadership doesn't share my view as an American and a Republican. Thanks. Rodney writes, this is not a question. I'm a libertarian enough to allow the RNC here in Charlotte, but do not take a picture with Donald Trump. This is talking to you now. Do not take a picture with Donald Trump or meet with him in any way. Learn from Steve Harvey. Don't let this be your HB2. Learn from Jennifer Roberts.
I didn't know that about Steve Harvey, but I do understand our experiences from HB2. And I understand also that visibility does not get results. Work gets results. Working with people in a collaborative way gets results. So I heard someone say that I am a cautious, methodical mayor. And I don't think that that's necessarily – I think that is a true statement. I am – thinking every day about the well-being of the city in every action I take, and I appreciate the advice.
Chelsea on Facebook, why did the mayor only present this opportunity with business owners and not the community?
I think that one of the things that it was not all business owners, it was primarily those within the perimeter that would have a major impact by the safety area. So that's where I went, and I think that part of this
working with the community, it was in the paper, and we did have people aware of it. I mean, I gave a report at the end of my 6 months with all of the media there to say this was one of the things that we were doing. I think sometimes until you see it before you, it doesn't become real, and the contract made it real. I also think the immigration debate made it real. So my thinking is that we got to the place that we are, and we started dealing with it then.
Mandy writes, do you think any woman, person of color, or gay person will ever vote for you again after you ran a campaign based on standing up against hate and then led the march to bring the first openly racist, sexist president to Charlotte?
I hope that voters will weigh my record and do and vote what they believe in. And I understand what she's saying, and It's very difficult, and I've said this, is a very difficult decision to weigh these efforts, and it wasn't about the economic development part for me. It was about the soul of our city. Is our city willing to stand up and say that? And we are standing up and saying that. And to me,
saying what?
Saying all the words and the descriptions that we have of the current president. And I share a lot of those feelings, and it's very difficult. But I think that we can be the example to stand up to
that. But I think it was Braxton Winston who said that this president and his administration go against all of the stated goals and aspirations of the city, the ones that you have stated coming into office as the mayor of Charlotte. So why then, people want to know, why entertain this?
We could have
lived without this.
Maybe I am an idealist, but we have a large number of Republicans in this community that live here, work here. We have
But it's not about the Republicans. It's about Donald Trump.
Exactly. That is what we're saying. And we've got 2 years to see what the president does.
Okay. Rachel writes, many have implied there was talk between the mayor and council and Republican leaders in North Carolina, specifically Tom Tillis and or members of the legislature, that hinted at retaliation for a no vote.
I have not had any that discussion. I've heard that from other people saying that, but I think that what people have meant is that you're trying to create a relationship. It's not that there was any retaliation, and I would say that that is not true. What this might be is perhaps viewed as some folks as saying, well, this is how we're going to work with you. I believe that it is a part of recognizing that while we are a Democratic majority city, we have a number and significant number of people that are Republican.
Okay. Brent writes, during the bidding process, was there an expert-led threat assessment to determine the likelihood and extent of rioting or terrorism, particularly whether the probability was higher than it was during the Democratic National Convention?
That is an ongoing conversation and strategy, including all the federal law enforcement agencies and our CMPD.
Are you confident that CMPD and the other law enforcement entities that will be here, should we get the convention, that they will be able to handle this in the way that they did the Democratic convention, that peaceful protests, and even when protests maybe become less than peaceful, that they'll be able to handle it?
That is the plan. I think that they're going to be plans that have lots of contingencies, and I do believe that we've seen places where the police were not ready. We're very clear on the risk factors here, and we know that we are going to work to mitigate those. And so I hope that we'll have that kind of convention where our plans don't require every contingency that's possible that we would have to act on. There will be those contingencies.
I think there was a letter to the editor in the Charlotte Observer this morning, or it could have been an op-ed piece, that talked about this putting an incredible amount of pressure on Kerr Putney and the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. Are they on board with this? Are they welcoming this? Do they feel confident that they can handle this? Would, in the best of all possible worlds, would they have come to you and said, please, we don't need this. Don't do this.
I have a great relationship with the chief. He was a part of our original interview with the RNC. I have that kind of the relationship that I've had with him since he became chief has been one that he's always been willing to tell me what he thinks is best, and I think that I trust that happened in this instance.
So you feel confident that he's okay with this?
I feel confident that he has expressed that he can plan and work through this. That's what he has said.
Okay. Susan writes, at the Women's March, you said you had the support of the people. You have let your support base down in favor of money. How does that make you feel?
It's, as I said to you and the community, it is a very tough decision to make about this, but I'm not letting go the ideas of the things that we need to deliver to the community that the community has asked for. Neighborhoods are the foundation of what we do. Women are very important to the way that I see this community and act upon it, and I hope that you'll have a chance to see me and regain confidence.
I want to back up to the police for just a second because I'm being told by one of our producers that the local Fraternal Order of Police told WSOC yesterday that officers are not happy, that's a quote, at the prospect of hosting the RNC because of understaffing and recruitment challenges. What's your reaction?
I have not heard that from our administration or from CMPD.
And will this help recruitment? In other words, if we get chosen to become the host city for a national political convention at which there could be security issues, will that help us find money for higher salaries for police and being able to attract and train in time enough officers?
I hope that we have, with the budget where we increase salaries up to 12%, where we're giving recognition of having educational incentives, where we're doing things to provide places to live for police officers. I hope that this is looked at as the actions that we've taken this year. And most of our increase in what we're doing in terms of our revenue came to the public safety area. I hope that that's going to make the difference.
Jill, on Facebook, I've often said the public won't have a candidate who is truly a public servant anymore because of the nastiness of politics, but you are a public servant. Your grace under fire, your desire to do what is best is admirable. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Kevin on Twitter, I'm not angry with you, Mayor Lyles. I'm just so incredibly disappointed that you set aside your principles and pushed through this bid. You have angered your friends, and for what?
You know, I use the term disappointed when my kids were little, and I would never say you really pissed me off. I'd say I'm so disappointed in you, and I can understand. I probably really have caused some people to be angry. I hope that
what
people look at me.
What do you see that they don't see? What is it that you understand about this opportunity that they don't?
I believe in this town. I believe in us. I believe that we can do something incredibly positive. And that's the way I have to look at it. I believe that Charlotte should be a place where.
But how is this positive? Because these people are they take issue with the president, some of the things he said, some of the things he's done, some of the people who are not holding him to account, etc. The lack of normalcy, which is constantly being brought up in this presidency, that's what they're taking issue with. So how can this be special?
This can be about the democratic process. One, a two-party system in this country that we're going to have people coming in, and I think that you'll see that, as I said, the spectrum of being a Republican can be very long and wide as well. But I hope that all Republicans will speak out, just as the Senate and the House did, those Republicans, around the issues of immigration. I think that they begin to speak out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow within the Republican Party. And what I am responsible for is to make sure that Charlotte is a city where I hope that we will walk the walk in addressing the issues of discrimination and misogyny and all of those things that we say. In fact, one of the things that's coming out of this is that we're going to do a study internally on our own policies to make sure that when we are talking about this, that we're doing it through a lens of equity.
Speaking of which, Jonathan on Facebook, I have the feeling the Bates Ford Road corridor will see little to no positive impact after the RNC. Let me add to that, because some of the conversations that we've had here in recent days have also brought up the racial healing that needs to happen in light of what happened with the Rodney King, Keith Lamont Scott shooting. How does all this tie in with the RNC? Is there going to be any benefit to the West Side? Is that going to open wounds?
I am not making the community's tourism industry dependent on or responsible for improvements on the West Side. That sits squarely with us as a community, the mayor and the council, and the things that we're doing over there to make a difference. We've got an economic opportunity zone set up over there to try to get some impetus, and we are working on affordable housing in that area. It takes some time to see visible results, and I hope that you'll hold us responsible for that, not the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
And I have 5 seconds. If you want to be inclusive and you want to be welcoming and you want to have this opportunity to host the RNC, why aren't you going to make the welcoming address at the convention?
Because I'm not a Republican.
Okay, I'll leave it at that because we're out of time. Mayor Vial-Iles, thank you for the hour. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.